You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Here's a question for you. What is it that you have hidden in your heart? What kind of skeletons are in your closet? Because here's the truth. Some of us are carrying prisoners in our hearts. Prisoners who are caged behind the bars of unforgiveness. In your heart, you still haven't forgiven Sarah for that comment, even though it's been months since you saw her. In your heart, you still have Jack in a jail of unforgiveness, even though you graduated from college 10 years ago. Yes, indeed, some of us have many skeletons from yesteryear hidden away. However, let me tell you the worst type of skeleton you could hide in your heart. The worst thing to hide within your heart is sin. A hidden sin? Unrepented sin? A behind-the-closed-doors type of sin? Dare I say the sin you enjoy the most is usually the one you hide the best. But my dear friends, do not, I repeat, do not mock the Lord. He is not on our level. We can't pull a fast one over the Creator. Here's what the Amplified translation for Luke 12, verse 2 and 3 says. But there is nothing so carefully concealed that it will not be revealed, nor so hidden that it will not be made known. For that reason, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. So you can have skeletons hidden in the closet of your heart. You can keep hundreds of people caged up in prisons, prisons of jealousy, prisons of lust, prisons of unforgiveness. You can carefully conceal them all you like, and the FBI will never know about it. Your pastor will never suspect a thing. Your family won't have a clue. But hear me when I say this. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good in all their endeavors. So what happens if you choose to hide your sin? What happens when you tolerate that sin for so long that you begin to water it down and call it a guilty pleasure? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." That's a powerful verse because, as humans, we can sometimes be immature and ignorant to think that just because we've been able to hide and conceal our sins from friends and family, we mistakenly think that we can do it to God, too. However, trying to hide sin from God is like running away from your shadow. You can't do it. You cannot hide a thing from the Lord. You can't run away from Him because He knows everything. Your family and friends might not know about your secret sin, but God knows. So I encourage you to clear out your closet, remove all skeletons, and get them out of your heart.
they do more harm to you than you could do to them. And if you're asking the question, how do I clear my closet and remove skeletons? Well, you begin by confessing that very thing. Put it on the altar and repent of that sin. The Amplified Translation of Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy." The Bible says that anyone who conceals his transgressions, in other words, anyone who hides his or her sins, will not prosper. Now, perhaps you're not where you want to be in life, and you're asking questions like, what's blocking my success? What's blocking my family from progressing and elevating? What's blocking my business? Well, the Bible tells you here in Proverbs 28, verse 13, that if you conceal your transgressions, you will not prosper. But whoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy. If you hide your sins, you will not prosper. Too many of us are so quick to jump and point fingers at the devil. We're quick to rebuke Satan when in actual fact, some of our problems are down to us concealing our transgressions. Sometimes it's not the devil pulling you back, it's that unconfessed sin. Sometimes it's not a demon blocking your progress, it's you trying to keep God on one side of your heart and keep your sin on the other side. You see, I love God's word because it's multifaceted. There are layers upon layers of depth. And for this problem of hidden sins, the solution is also provided by the same scripture. Read Proverbs 28, verse 13 once again, and you'll see what I mean. The Bible says,
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but whoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy. Confess and turn away from your sins, from your hidden sins, and you'll find compassion and mercy. That's the solution. If you confess and turn away from the things hidden in your closet, and you will find compassion and mercy. If you confess and turn away from the skeletons in your heart, and you'll find compassion and mercy. So, let them go, whoever they are. Whatever they did to you, let them go. Don't continue to keep prisoners in your heart. Don't continue to have people in cages. Release them and repent. We as children of God are called to forgive. We are called to walk in the light. Scripture says, "You are to be holy because I am holy." So I encourage you to clear out your closet. Deep clean your heart with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not enough room for God and all the prisoners from your past. Pray for healing if you must. Pray for the Lord to give you the grace and ability to simply let go. Let go of every skeleton, every person, every pain and hurt, because it profits you nothing to hold on to it. Instead, you should really be clearing out your heart so that there is plenty of room for Jesus Christ to fill you. And you should allow him to. There will certainly be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit over your life.
Have you ever seen someone who's broken? broken person is one who's been defeated, overwhelmed, overpowered. It's a sad sight to see a broken man or a woman crushed by life, crushed by tragedy, or crushed by their own mistakes. And the thing about it is, when a person is truly broken, they have given up. There is no hope. However, a believer who has their heart in the Lord can never be broken. You simply cannot break someone who is truly in Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is, Paul said in the book of Philippians, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." Meaning if there's a breath in his body, it's because Jesus sustains me. It's because Jesus Christ strengthens me. And if I'm absent from this body, then I am present in eternity with Christ. God will dry your tears. He will be a bridge over troubled water. He will be sunshine on a rainy day. Your strength in the moments that you feel weak. So raise your head and don't slump your shoulders. You're God's child. You have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There ain't a devil that can break you. There isn't a situation that can break you. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
The Amplified Translation for Psalm chapter 34, verse 19 says, "Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous, but the Lord rescues him from them all." This is really a remarkable passage of Scripture, and it's one that is often overlooked. As Christians, we have not been promised a life free from hardships. We have not been promised a trouble-free life. On the contrary, God has promised to be our rescue. Now, hardship in life can come in many forms. And so long as you are living in this world, trouble and hardships are simply a part of life. I would even say this is the case more so if you are a Christian, because Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 18 to 21, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to this world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." Now, the question for us is, how do we handle being hated by the world? How do we handle being persecuted by the world? Well, I have one passage of Scripture to help you in this area. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 to 16 says, "But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory in God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." When you suffer because you are a Christian, when you suffer because of your belief in the Lord, be strengthened by the Word of God, because the Bible says you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. So let me encourage you and tell you, should you face the hardships of life because you are a Christian? You're blessed, because as you partake in the suffering because of Christ, you will be overjoyed in glory when the Lord returns. You will be rewarded for your faithfulness. And should you face the hardships of life, should you encounter the many afflictions that we all face in life, then we have a promise to hold on to, And that promise is that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Regardless of the type of trouble you face or the form it comes in, so long as you are in the Lord, you will overcome.
Should you need healing, submit to the Lord's will. And if you receive healing, that's wonderful. If you don't, then do not be disheartened, because perhaps there is a purpose for you to go through what you're going through. Have an attitude that says, Lord, whatever your decision may be, I'm going to trust in you. May your will be done. May your will take precedence over my life. Healing is something that we all need in our lives. Physical healing, emotional healing, or mental healing, whatever it may be. Jesus Christ still heals today. He still makes people whole today. Jesus Christ still mends broken hearts. He can divinely rehabilitate you. He can revive the dead things in your life. Jesus Christ can soothe every painful scar in your life. He is the master physician. He's a chief doctor who is able to treat every visible and invisible wound in your life. But here's the key. Here's the key for us. We have to be submitted to His will. Praise Him if He heals you in a sudden and miraculous way. But also praise Him if He doesn't heal you, but instead gives you the grace and strength to endure, the grace and strength to keep going. Regardless, put the Lord's will above your will.
In this very moment, you could be feeling as though you've lost everything. Let me tell you that you haven't if you're a child of God. You still have Jesus. And Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
You see, God's presence is wonderful. When His presence surrounds you, you're surrounded by pure love. When His presence surrounds you, you're covered in safety, and there is nothing from the enemy that can touch you. In His presence, there is power. So much power that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So much power that there is nothing impossible. It's only in the arms of the Lord that you can find divine strength. It's only in God that you will find strength in your weakness. It's only in Him that you can do all things because He strengthens you. To fully trust in God, we have to relinquish full control. To put it another way, it's to abandon trust in yourself or another human. You stop trying to fix it yourself, and you allow God. You yield to God. You surrender all control to Him. In all aspects of your life, you need to accept that, in the grand scheme of things, your control is limited. This is why we trust in an almighty God. This is why we trust in an all-powerful God. Because we are limited, but He isn't.
One thing that I've learned is that whenever you push, God will pull you towards Him. And here's what I mean by that. James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Note how the Bible is telling us to take the first steps towards God, and He will draw us to Him. So let's take a look at some examples as to how this can happen. When you push through the distractions of life and pray, when you push through the doubt and hold on to God's word, when you push through the disbelief and cling on to faith, do you not think that the Lord will answer you and hear your prayer? When you push, God pulls you. When you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. It's explicitly said in the Bible. Do you remember the story in Mark 5, of the woman with an issue of blood? The Bible in Mark 5, verse 27 to 29 says, "She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, 'If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed.' Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. When this woman heard about Jesus, she was determined to put her faith into action. It would have been an intimidating task to force and push through the crowd to touch Jesus. People were pressing against him on all sides. She had to push through each of them, hundreds of them, perhaps. Many judged this woman, I'm sure. Many sneered. Many tried to block her. Many did all they could to not catch her impurity, I'm sure. And yet, she was determined. She dared to believe that just a touch from Jesus could change what the doctors couldn't. Just one touch from the Lord could change what all her money and all her savings couldn't. So she pushed through and received her healing. The Bible tells us that Daniel prayed and fasted for 3 weeks until God answered him. Imagine the days going by. 3 days of prayer and fasting and no answer. Day 6, no answer. Day 15, no answer. But Daniel pushed through. And so I want to speak to your heart and tell you to keep praying. Keep pushing. Keep drawing closer to God. And He will draw closer to you. When you push, God pulls. So raise your level of faith and become expectant that something special, something supernatural will happen in your life when you push through that doubt and disbelief. Remember that in the book of James, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much.
Now I want us to join together in a short prayer right now. It's a good thing for us to be motivated and inspired to seek God, but we need to pray. So join me for the next few moments as we pray that the Lord would draw us closer to Him as we take the first steps towards Him. Dear Lord Jesus, for the one who hungers, You are the bread of life. For the one who thirsts, You are living water. For the one that is lost and needs guidance, Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. For the one who needs a defender, Jesus, You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Father, I pray for every believer under the sound of my voice. Everyone who needs peace, may they know You to be the Prince of Peace. Each person that need comfort, may they know You to be a loving Father. I pray for each person who is seeking to be made whole. Be the one who will mend their hearts and souls. And Father, would You extend Your mercy to the one who needs reassurance and needs strength? May they know Your word to be true. Your word which says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Thank You for Your word, because I know that the Almighty Creator has good thoughts about me. The great I Am thinks thoughts of peace and not of evil towards me. And because of that, I can confidently say, You are my safe place and You are my strong tower. You are my Lord and Savior. I trust in you to be with me always and to never forsake me as you have promised in your word. Help us to draw nearer to you. You are worthy of our complete devotion, and nothing comes close to the joy of knowing and pursuing you. You are the God who created us, saved us, and sustained us in every single day. In exchange for my heart, you have offered me the gift of eternal life and a fully restored relationship with you, my God. So how could I give my time and attention to anything else? How could I remain on the fence when I have been offered the greatest love of all by you, Jesus? Lord, forgive me for my double-mindedness. Forgive me for all the times I've been lukewarm towards you. Like a fire within me so that I would burn to serve you, Lord, forgive me for all the times that I've compromised on the things that grieve your heart. Lord, I want to be all in for you. I want to honor and obey you in every part of my life. I want to be filled with faith until no doubt remains. Your word says in Luke 9:62, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to put my hand to the plow and never look back. So give me clarity. Help me to see right as right, wrong as wrong, and sin as sin. No matter what the world says, your word never changes. Help me to hold fast to what is true and to not waver on the things that matter to you. Father, help me to cut off all other masters, wealth, prosperity, popularity. I pray that whatever it is that rules me, whatever it is that has power over me, may you break it if it doesn't please you. I lay it at your feet. Break every chain that is holding me. Take my heart because it's rightfully yours, King Jesus. As I go through all the highs and lows of life, don't let me become lukewarm. Don't let me become indifferent to your grace and mercy and your perfect plan. Make me a passionate servant in your kingdom. Lord Jesus, I know that time is short. At the end of my life, or when you return, I want to be found serving you with all my might, not wasting time on worthless things. Give me the courage to let go of the people and of the things that hinder my walk with you, because you are worth much more than anything in this world. You are my life. Help me to love you above everything else I hold dear. Lord Jesus, I fully devote myself to you now. I desire to serve you only. I surrender my whole life to you. I will no longer set my mind on earthly comfort or pleasure or anything else. Instead, I will live to know you and to make you known to everyone around me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work.
Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.